For some weeks, I have been wanting to look into John's Gospel with you. This is a remarkable portion of Scripture, and I hope you won't miss a single message. I hope, too, that you will share the news with your friends so they will be listening, too. Well, keep listening, and I'll be back for our first message from the Gospel of John. Someone has said that the Gospel of John is the greatest book in the world. Another has declared it to be the greatest love story ever told. No one would dare surmise how many lives have been brought to Christ and transformed by this wonderful gospel. Now, before his conversion, John had been a rugged fisherman casting nets on the Sea of Galilee. Though he's not named in the book, he simply refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, this does not denote pride, but rather deep humiliation. It was the profound exaltation of the love of God which had drawn the wayward John to the Lord Jesus. John never ceased to marvel at this love which had changed his life completely. The Gospel of John was written at a much later date than the first three Gospels. Truth had been perverted, and the deity of Christ had been questioned. God laid his hand upon John to write the fourth gospel to counteract this heresy, that all the peoples of the world might hear that Jesus is the Son of God. The purpose of the book is stated clearly in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye might believe and have life through his name. Seven miracles are emphasized in the gospel in order to present Jesus as the Son of God. Certain significant words are also used to portray this truth, such as believe 98 times, love 54 times, life 43 times, truth 27 times, light 23 times, and witness 22 times. One can hardly read this gospel without realizing the claim on his soul for salvation. Repeatedly, in various ways, John presents the truth of the gospel, that those who read might believe on Christ and experience the privilege of living eternally with him. But not only is the fourth gospel an evangelistic book, it is a source of blessing to the true believer. It is filled with comfort and help. It provides inspiration and guidance. It should be read and reread time and time again. Millions in our troubled world need to know the Gospel of John that they might experience the peace the Lord Jesus speaks about in this book. Now, in the opening verses of the Gospel, John immediately began his task of presenting Jesus as the eternal Son of God. In verses 1 and 2, Christ is seen in his relationship to God the Father. In verse 3, in his relationship to creation. And in verses 4 and 5, in his relationship to people. Consider Christ in his relationship to God the Father. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Three things are said about the Word in these verses. The Word is eternal, personal, and supernatural. John, in speaking of the Word, means Jesus Christ, as an invisible thought is expressed by a corresponding word. Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. We are assured from the 14th verse that the Word is Christ. We read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God in the person of Christ assumed a body of flesh and came to dwell upon this earth. The Word is eternal. "In the beginning was the Word," John says. This is the basis upon which Christ gives eternal life, because he himself is eternal. He has the power and authority to give eternal life to all who believe. Next, the Word was with God. Christ is personal. Though he is God, one with the Father, yet he is a distinct personality. He always has been, and he will continue to be. He declared in John 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." He is of the same substance as the Father, very God, but at the same time, he is a separate personality. And then the Word was God. As God, Jesus Christ is supernatural. Repeatedly, when he was upon this earth, he gave evidence that he was God. He raised the dead, he gave sight to the blind, he healed the lepers, and he performed many other miracles, providing conclusive credentials of his deity. He knew all about those with whom he conversed. No one had to tell him about the woman at the well. Even though he had never seen her before, he knew her entire past. No one had to brief him on Nathanael. He knew that this was an Israelite in whom there was no guile. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. The apostle reiterates this great truth in verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. This is actually a summary of verse 1. How wonderful to know that Jesus Christ, who existed with the Father from eternity, lives today. Considering Christ and his relationship to creation, John tells us, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of creation was brought into existence through the creative power of God the Son. The Apostle Paul substantiates this truth in Colossians 1, verse 16, where he wrote, "For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ is the Creator." In verses 4 and 5, we see Christ's relationship to people. John says of the Lord Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We may be certain that only in him can life be found. The apostle is speaking here of eternal life. This life is not found in sinful humans. God says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Christ did not come to save those who could save themselves. In Luke 19:10, we read, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Without him, we are eternally lost, without God and without hope. We have nothing we can offer to God for salvation, for we are vile, deserving eternal condemnation. John says, "And the life was the light of man." Suddenly, the life becomes light. As one receives eternal life through Christ, he receives the light to guide him over the dark paths of the world in which he lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we are told, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." As the Son was created to bring light into the darkness of the world, Christ was sent to give light to the souls of men. After one comes to Christ, he possesses the power to live for the Lord. Verse 5 says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Comprehend, as used here, is really the word apprehend. What a tragedy that many thousands of needy men and women refuse to receive the light of the gospel of Christ. I hope you're not one of them. If you are, oh friend, do something about it now, while you have the opportunity. The door to salvation is open. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall have this wonderful life that he came to provide." I hope that you've trusted Christ as your very own. If you haven't, don't delay. You see, God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You may not even be here tomorrow. Oh, I've seen men and women swept out of this world very quickly. Thank God if you still have an opportunity to believe on Jesus. Grasp that opportunity. Don't delay any longer. Let this be the day of your salvation. For Jesus is God. He proved himself to be God. He is the eternal God. He can transform your life if only you'll let him do it. Will you let him right now? I hope you will. Father, I come to you on behalf of many listening to this broadcast who have never definitely committed themselves to the Son of God and said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. May they say it today, I pray, for I pray and ask in his holy name. Amen.